Around Comics, Episode 39. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, a weekly roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Hello, everyone.
And we have our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello, ladies.
And our guest this week is Simon Oliver. He's an international man of mystery in the world of comics and the writer of one of our favorite titles, The Exterminators.
Hello, this is Simon Oliver.
Oh, God. You are not. Oh, Simon.
Paul Jenkins just vomited in his mouth a little bit.
Hello, Mike.
Stop it with the English accent.
But, everyone loves my English accent.
Simon will be joining us in just a moment. But first, I'd like to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by GeekArmor.com. Mr. Caters, would you tell the fine people about GeekArmor.com?
Of course I will. GeekArmor.com sells t-shirts with the geek in mind, featuring a great selection of comic book t-shirts as well as video game, sci-fi, TV, and movie shirts. You are sure to find something you like. Check out their latest original design, a red shirt with a phaser hole on the front that reads, "I went on an away mission and all I got was this lousy t-shirt." And now, the good folks at Geek Armor are offering a 10% discount to all Around Comics listeners. Just use the coupon code AROUNDCOMICS, open paren, all one word, close paren, when placing your order and receive an additional 10% off. GeekArmor.com. Check them out today.
I told you, Chris, that he'll read anything.
I'll read anything you write.
Anything you put in front of
it's like
him.
Ron Burgundy. It's like, like Ron Burgundy.
Oh, good Lord.
Fuck yourself, comic listener. Explicit tag.
Right off the bat. Around Comics is recorded every Friday from 7 to 9 at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern in Chicago. If you are in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Come
you can
come in.
You can meet Mark, the fine manager here, and he'll berate you in front
give
of
you
everyone.
A reach around.
I will hug you.
We have a contest. The July-August contest. Sal, can you tell folks about our contest?
Sure. The July-August contest is Write Tom's Comic.
For me.
We've taken a page out of Green Lantern number 6.
I can't remember.
And we've removed all the letters from the word balloons, and you need to go and write Tom's comic. Fill them all in. Make it funny, interesting, funny, silly, touching.
Tears.
Bring us to tears. And send it back to us at news@aroundcomics.com. And we'll pick a winner. And the winner will receive a trade of their choice, $24.95 or less.
And 10
quarter books.
Which I've carefully picked out. I've got a nice selection.
Beautiful.
For my Tom Caters personal.
Personal.
The Don Rosa collection.
Don Rosa. The Tom
Caters collection.
You just go to the contest link at the
On aroundcomics.com. Mm-hmm. Go to the contest link under the show menu mm-hmm. item, and it'll give you all the details, and you can mm-hmm. download it from there.
And if you don't have an image editor, don't worry about it. You can just go ahead and script it out in an email, send it to us, and if we like it,
we'll... And we had one. We had one like that.
Great. Fantastic.
Well, that's, yeah.
Next thing is the Listener LCS Challenge. Over on the left-hand side of the website, there is a banner.
I moved it.
Oh, no, you moved
just
it?
Yeah.
Oh, don't mess with me. There's a Listener LCS Challenge banner there. Click on that. There's a downloadable PDF of a flyer for Around Comics. If you would be so kind as to print that out and ask your local comic shop manager or owner if you can display it in their shop, we would really appreciate it, and we will mention you and the shop on the show and provide a link to the shop.
I will up that challenge. If you get it tattooed on you, I will give you a 10 quarter books.
How can you resist?
Yeah, exactly.
I also wanted to mention our hotline. Call us. Leave us a voicemail, 1-888-65-GCAST. Once you get on there, it'll ask you for a 10-digit number, and you type in ARND Comics. Mm-hmm. And then the PIN number is 1234, and you can leave us a voicemail.
All of that information is on the website. I called in just to test it, and it's really easy to follow.
We're
going to debut one tonight. Yeah, well, actually, we had Amy Lift from the UK call us, and we did that one a couple weeks ago, but we have a really disturbing one that we're going to play tonight.
Do we want to play it now?
How well, disturbing. Yeah, okay. 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 Crowd demands.
This is from Vince B, and this was an interesting voicemail that he sent us.
Hi, this is for Tom, honey. Honey, Tom, why won't you return my phone calls, baby? What did I do? Tell me. I bought the monkey suit with the friggin' flap in the back like you want it, and the bananas and stuff, and you're just not calling me, baby. So come on, Tommy. Come on. Remember that night? Oh, God, Jesus. What? Oh, it's palate cleansing time. I'm sorry. You know how I get. But just, Tom, baby, give me a call, okay? I'll scratch under my arms and everything like you want it. God, I'm out of here.
Well, all I have to say is there is a discernible difference between being hugged by an ape and being hugged by someone dressed as an ape. And if you've ever been hugged by an ape, it's the tightest hug but the most loving eyes. And when he hugged me, it was hard, but the eyes were almost, they weren't there. He wasn't thinking about me. So that's why I haven't returned your phone calls.
Should we give Vince a call?
We can, sure. Why not? Why see not? What Vince has to say.
All right.
Hopefully we get a member of his family.
Just so people know, you don't have to make something so disturbing to leave his voicemail. Yeah, you can just say hi.
Or you could ask. You could be like, Tom, what's your favorite football team?
Yeah, anything.
A top of the stack would be nice.
I like the Packers, just so you know.
Bastard.
I'm from Green Bay.
We heard that before.
Boo.
No, Vince isn't going to answer. We'll leave him a bad email.
A call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
I'll leave him a
message.
It's
not available.
I got it.
To reach this person, press 5 now. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Listen, I got your message and I told you not to call me anymore, all right? The restraining order is in effect. I don't care how much you paid for the monkey costume. I'll send you a check. Just let me know, all right? I'm so sick of this. I was drunk one night. Cool. One night. And now I have to pay for the rest of my life?
No means no. No means no, Vince.
I'm so sorry. Call me. Text me.
Bye, Vince.
All right. So there's the hotline in action. I don't think it gets much better than
that. Shut her down.
See if you can improve on that.
I get perverted messages.
Oh, okay. Where are we here? the rest of our front-end announcements here.
Simon gets to follow. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Telephone action.
Oh, and then Simon gets to hear Vince's forum question, which is a really good one. So, Podcast Alley, if you would be so kind as to drop by and leave us a vote there. There's actually a hot link on the site. Yes, first of every month. My personal favorite is the iTunes reviews. If you go to the iTunes Music Store, find Around Comics, and write us a review. We actually thank you, everyone. We've had a lot of reviews lately. It's been really nice to see.
And all positive.
Yeah.
Other than the one that ripped on Tom for being...
annoying.
Yeah, annoying.
My humor is dry. Apparently annoying.
I hope that person realizes that they made Tom's dreams come true because you
bad
said
mouth on the internet.
You would never feel validated until you were bad-mouthed on the internet.
Yeah. Me and John Byrne get together and just.
That's right. Tom Caters and John Byrne in the same sentence.
I'm trying to make my humor wetter, and I'm going to try and be less annoying.
Okay. Well, I think that is our front-end announcements here. And without further ado, let's talk to Mr. Simon Oliver. Simon, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good here in Los Angeles. It's still sunny. It's still only 5 o'clock. It's nice.
Hey. Well, it's a Friday evening in Chicago. We actually have been blessed with some nice weather, so we're doing what all good comic geeks do. We're inside a comic shop.
Talking about
Friday night.
Exactly.
Life in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Well, Simon, there is there is so much mystery wrapped up around you. We've been looking forward to this all week long. It's like, what's this guy going to be like? Who is this guy? You are, Sal, what did you call him today?
He's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, whatever that line is.
Wrapped,
I don't know.
Wrapped in an idol.
The Russian doll thing.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, let's start. Why don't you tell us who Simon Oliver is and what eventually...
If that's your real name, sir.
Yeah, if that's really my real name.
You guys, I still feel like we're talking to Grant Morrison.
No.
I still think he's Scottish.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd probably be really insulted if a guy with an English accent was mistaken for him.
Yeah, we're Americans. We can't tell the difference.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's really all the same. People usually think I'm Australian, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, what, they've got an Australian playing Bond? I don't care.
Australian rules football, huh? Crazy.
Well, I tell you, Simon, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you eventually to Exterminators?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story, or probably an unusual story for people who end up writing at Vertigo. Normally they work their way up and do the indie thing first, but it was a completely flukish thing. I have to admit it, and I'll probably be crucified. Never have been a huge comic book reader. I picked them up from time to time, and always thought they were pretty cool, but never fully immersed myself in it. And it was absolute fluke that I ended up doing this book over at Vertigo. It's been a great experience. I actually worked in the film business for the last 10 years since I've lived in Los Angeles as a camera assistant. On set, mainly on TV shows, which was a fairly horrific experience, but after about 8 years, I decided that I needed to do something else. And I started writing, I think 4 years ago, it was 4 years ago, I started writing, and I wrote a couple of movie scripts, mainly because it seemed like the easy thing to do, because I've worked in the film business, I know from a technical standpoint, I kind of know how stuff goes together. And I wrote a couple of scripts, and they got pretty good reception, but didn't get picked up, and I didn't make any money. But I wrote this outline, and it was purely kind of just to please myself. It was just something to have fun with, and that was kind of what The Exterminators was. And I didn't think for a minute that it would ever make it to a network. I mean, it's way too odd to ever make it into TV. But through a producer friend, she took it over to Vertigo and gave it to them, and the next thing I knew, they called me up and thought it would make a great comic book.
It is a great comic. I guess my next question is, how did they approach you about that, and where is your background in writing from? I mean, you were obviously an unknown in comics. What was that situation of them approaching you like?
I mean, I've read, actually, it was a friend of mine who I met in the business, who was is a producer, and I was chatting to her about, she usually buys books and then, gets movies developed from them, and in talking to her, she was like, I was just asking her about the process, and it sounded kind of cool, so she was like, maybe you should look into comic books, because everyone's, buying comic books, and actually... I went out and picked up a copy of 100 Bullets and thought it was great. And I have to say, it was from reading that, I was like, you can actually do that. I'd read some comics in the 80s, like Watchmen and stuff like that. So I was kind of familiar. And then when I read 100 Bullets, all of a sudden I kind of remembered, and I was like, wow, you can actually do that stuff? There's someone actually putting that kind of stuff out. And it was about a year after I read that I actually started writing, and it was really completely from scratch. The first script I wrote was actually based in Chicago. It was the first 20 years of the Playboy story, and it ended up this sprawling, like, 200-page script. And then I wrote another thing, and then, the third thing I'd ever written was The Exterminators. And that's really my background. I mean, out of all the subjects at school, the English was never particularly a strong point, and it had never, up to that point, it never appealed to me particularly writing, but I've always been a huge, huge reader, and I watch a lot of movies and stuff, so I'm fairly untrained as a writer. And when they called me up, and literally John Vankin and Karen Berger were on the line, I had a conference call with them, and they were saying how great they thought The Exterminators was, and would I be interested in turning the concept into a monthly comic book? I was like, but you do understand that not only do I not know how to write a comic book, I really don't know the first thing about them. And they were like, that's fine.
No problem.
Sometimes that works out the best, you know?
Yeah, and it kind of has. And even now I'm definitely involved in comics, and there's a lot of really good books out there, and I'm really hesitant to pick them up and start reading, just because I do think it's one of the strengths of the book is that it's written by someone who doesn't particularly know that much about comics.
It's sort of completely out of left field as far as the genre, the medium is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I read some. They sent me a bunch of, I read that book, Panel One, was one that John recommended for me to read, and then he sent me probably five or six scripts with the finished product, just so I could learn the form a little bit and understand, how it was laid out. And then I fairly early on, it tweaked to me that, I could just use, I can use the movie terms that I'm familiar with from my years as a camera assistant. And luckily, when Tony got involved, Tony's very familiar with the various movie terms. So that's pretty much how I write my script I break down the scenes and decide which particular panels are important, and then just describe it in movie terms, like a two shot and then an over. And, I even get into stuff like, I want a crane idea over these four panels. It's going to lift up and away. And it was just kind of something I stumbled on, and it seems to work pretty well. Tony's pretty good about following it through.
Well, hearing that you said originally it was a script for a TV show, did you find the length of the medium of comic books interesting? Like, when I hear that, I think, can you fit more into a comic book story than you thought you could? Or do you have to...
Yeah, it was weird, actually. All the original material that I gave them there was so much stuff in it from a storytelling standpoint that it wasn't, and I don't think it's ever going to be a problem with this project in finding stuff to put in. It's more of a question of, okay, what do we leave out and what do we leave, for later on so it doesn't get too sprawly. So it's more of a case of stuff to leave out, but writing a monthly comic book is a fabulous medium for writing in, because you get to really delve into the characters and really develop the characters, which, maybe if it was a TV show, you can do to a certain extent, but you definitely can't do it in a movie. You have, an hour and a half to tell a story, and you kind of have to hit the ground running, whereas in a comic book, you can make these little diversions, and, especially in the standalone issues, you can really concentrate and spotlight a character and really get, it's just such a great medium for a writer to be involved in writing a monthly comic book. It's fabulous.
Yeah, you do have the freedom to do pretty much whatever you want. And,
squashing rats.
Well, I tell you, anyone who's listened to our show knows that we're huge fans of the books, and we talk about it all the time, but we haven't given you a chance to give, the Hollywood pitch for Exterminators.
Hollywood pitch, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, so why don't you give us the rundown on, in your words, what The Exterminators is and what it's about.
Yeah, this is actually, I have to preface this, this has been the hardest thing from day one, and I think at the Comic-Con panel in San Diego was about all I said was, everyone wants the four-line pitch that makes, the sales pitch that, makes you want to, watch the movie or buy the book or, do whatever else it is you're trying to sell. And the hard thing with The Exterminators has been coming up with a four-line pitch that made any sense and actually conveyed it. The simple thing is it's about the thin line that separates bugs from man, and when this line that separates us is broken, then nature's going to take back over the cities, which is what we're starting to see in the book in the current story arcs. Things are starting to get amped up a little bit, and eventually, maybe nature's just going to come back and the lease. I'm not doing this very well. The man's only leasing the land back from nature, and eventually nature's going to flood over, destroy our cities, and we're going to be back to the beginning again.
And that's the thin line that, the exterminators ride inside these cities, and no one, apart from them, no one's particularly aware of the day-to-day struggle that's going on between, you know, keeping nature at bay and keeping them, you know, under control in our cities.
That explanation's really good, actually. I was going to ask you, when I started reading this book, I started paying more attention to various sort of things about infestation, and it just so happened this, you know, the first week I read Exterminators, there's a show on the Discovery Channel called Dirty Jobs, and it's a guy who does all these horrible jobs, and he went out with a crew of exterminators, and the guy who was leading it pretty much said, like, almost exactly the same thing you just said, but
probably
in the real world, you know, like, he's like, oh, you'll never, you know, it's foolish to think you can kill all the rats. The rats are going to be here, you know.
You know, it's never going to happen, especially, you know, the beginning animal that I started researching was cockroaches, and, you know, they're far more successful creature than man will ever be. You know, they're going to be here. They've already been here for millions of years before us. I think I'm pulling this number out of my head. I think it's 320 million years that cockroaches have been here. And virtually, from an evolutionary standpoint, haven't really changed that much. And they live in every single part of our Earth, from, you know, from rainforest down to subterranean caves. You're going to find cockroaches. They're everywhere. So whose planet is it really? Is it ours, or is it the cockroaches?
Yeah, well, there's, like, a statistic about rats that in a major metropolitan city, you're never more than probably 10 feet from a rat if you're not, like, if you're not in
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, they're everywhere. You're never going to escape.
Well, what?
And they're having sex.
So at what point, you know, is their population growth going to explode, and eventually our cities will be completely awash with this vermin, and they're going to take it back?
Well,
that was kind of the idea. I actually went out for a day with an exterminating company in Los Angeles. One of the local ones here, which was kind of interesting, getting their point of view and their standpoint on stuff. It was pretty cool. I should do it again sometime.
I bet. What did they think whenever you're like, I'm doing research? They're like, all right, hop on in.
They were kind of, you know, Los Angeles is such a strange town, but you can say stuff like that, and they just kind of assume you're nuts and carrying on.
Well, did you have any concerns about the book being about bugs and rats and all these creepy crawly creatures that surround us that we kind of try to ignore? Did you have any concern with people not wanting to read it because of sort of the innate fear of?
Yeah, I was actually talking to someone about this today. It's definitely been a problem because people look at it and they're like, why? Well, number one, they're like, why on earth would I go out and spend my $3 on a book about bugs? It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You know, either they're like, that concept doesn't make any sense to me, or they're just like, I can't bear to look at a bug, which I was surprised about, because I mean, you know, I'm not particularly keen on bugs, but at the same time, it wouldn't stop me reading something about them.
Well, it's just Spider-Man.
People are really horrified by the idea of it.
Well, I know I was, when the first issue came out, and I was looking forward to it, because I'm a big Tony Moore fan, and that's how I got turned on to the book. But I went into a comic shop and picked it up, and I go up to the counter with it, and the guy's like, you sure you want to get that, dude? That's about bugs. And I'm just like,
excellent. Another, let me know who that was.
I'll send you an email. It was,
yeah.
I'm just like, why would you do that? Why would you, you know, I mean, and the book is so good. I look back on it now, and I'm just like, I sure hope that he wasn't doing that to a lot of people, because...
it's tough. I mean, the first, it was hard because the book does encompass a lot. There's a lot of different storylines going on, and it's a very hard book to sum up that I think, you know, I knew, and definitely all the people at Vertigo knew, it was going to take a few issues for people to kind of see the bigger picture. And a lot of people, you know, this is something I'm discovering because I'm really new to comics, is, you know, they'll pick up the first issue and they'll decide by the end of, you know, by page 22, whether they're going to commit to buying this book forever or not, you know. And I understand there's a lot of books out there. I didn't quite realize, you know, how stiff the competition is. But it's interesting that they'll, by the end of the first 22 pages, decide, and you've really got to try and sell it in those 22 pages, which, you know, I don't know now if I'd write that first issue any differently. I think I set a record at Vertigo for curse words in one issue.
That's so quite a record.
I'm pretty happy about it. I don't know if Twitter ever reached. I forget. Someone actually, one of the reviews counted how many different well, how many different computations of fucker I said in it.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I think it was like 27 or 35 or something.
That's like South Parkian.
Yeah, no, it was pretty great. And when they put the preview up online, and they blanked out all the swear words, and it was just like, you know, there'd be bubbles and it'd only be like one word you could actually see out of like eight.
It'd be like cockroach and then blurred word, yeah, blurred word, right. Rat.
You know, people were deciding whether to buy the book or not based on the preview, and they're looking at it like, I can only see six words on the entire page.
There's a giant rat.
Yeah, and there's a giant rat getting splatted and stuff, and they're just like, this guy's out of his mind. They're like, what are they thinking?
Hi, I'm Tony Moore, and you're listening to Around Comics.
Well, I don't know if this speaks to us in a good light or bad, but here on the panel, Sal and Tom and I usually, we'll agree or disagree, but we all loved this book from the very beginning, and have followed it from the first issue, and it keeps getting better. I can't express enough how much we enjoy this book.
Oh, good, thank you, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's. And, like, that first issue was the absolute first comic book I ever wrote, although there are seven different... I think that was the eighth full draft before we got to that point. It was hard at the beginning just to understand the, just how the graphics worked and how the panels worked and what I was up against, basically. And it was a hard process, and the first few issues were really by the skin of my teeth. And once you've written like eight drafts of one issue, you start to, you're second guessing yourself and you're not quite sure where you stand. And it was, especially that first issue, it was really hard. I was really like, what the hell am I getting myself in for?
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you've for the most part, and like we talked about before, you've been a bit of a mystery to comic book fans. And in this culture, which I'm sure you're starting to sort of get a hang of the sort of fanaticism that comic book fans have about their books and the people who make them, have you found that a bit of an adjustment to try and realize that, one, there's so many books out there, and two, the community almost expects to hear from you on a daily basis if you're
That's actually something which, to be honest, even though, I mean, the eighth issue just got published, we worked on this for a long time. I forget the dates and the times involved, but we've been working on this a long time before it ever saw the light of day. I've been to three Comic Cons now. The first one, we were just about to sign the contract. It was just kind of held up in going backwards and forwards. And then the second one, we announced the book, and then this Comic Con was the first one I've actually been there selling the book. So I feel like I've been involved in this for a while. I mean, I'm writing issue 14, and I'm into next year's stuff already. I'm just discovering that, and I really didn't do that much promotion. I did a few interviews that DC and Vertigo had set up at the beginning, but not knowing the industry at all, I didn't realize that you've really got to go out there and make yourself heard. It doesn't matter if you're writing Gone with the Wind, you've got to go out there and sell it.
We demand blood. We want a picture of you.
Out there, and you've got to be shouting as loud as everybody else. And I really realized it at this Comic Con as I was walking around. It's like, I'm writing what I think is a pretty good book, and I think, we should be selling a few more copies of it. And I kind of realized it fell on me to do that. So that's kind of what I've been doing since San Diego. It's like, I need, especially with the trade coming out, I need to, get people to pick up the trade and give it a try and see that, there were fears and maybe realized or maybe not realized, and that there may be something more. I mean, the issue that just came out, there's not a single bug in it, and I think there's only one piece of gratuitous nudity.
Yeah, the hot tub scene was great.
Yeah.
We actually met up with Chris Somney in Chicago this past weekend. Oh, Chris is an amazing young man. And
he did a great job on that, because, that's the other thing is, being a fill-in artist and having to step into Tony's shoes somewhat. And, Tony's, definitely got his fan base, and he's got a certain look, that comes with it. I think I think Chris was happy they didn't have to draw like 58,000 bugs on a page.
A tidal wave of cockroaches.
Yeah, I know. Now when I write these scripts, I do put little notes in there for Tony, like, you know. I know that I'm going to cause him nightmares for weeks over some of these scripts.
We need some more.
Keep putting more and more bugs in.
Well, I know you're making Tony the envy of a lot of different artists, because we were talking with Mike Norton, who is co-creator of the book Gravity, and he also is going to be writing Runaways. Drawing Runaways. And he says every time he reads an issue, it's just like, man, how much fun is he having that book? Because where else can you see, you know, a fat guy in a luchador costume squeezing the death of rats?
Yeah, I have to say, it's especially now, once the initial shock of, you know, of figuring out my process of writing a comic book is kind of subsiding a little bit, it just becomes fun. I think it was maybe issue 3 or 4 where I really started, you know, actually enjoying the process a little bit more now that the nerves had gone down a little bit. And I think it definitely shows in the second arc. There were some issues in there. There's one in particular, you know, this one's really good. I like this one. This one's a good one.
The one with the couch, right?
The one with the couch. That was Tony. I have to say, that's the one that everyone has picked up on, is that particular panel. Because I have to say, there are some panels that one in particular, and then the one, I forget which issue it was, with the lady in like the mental asylum place.
Yeah.
With the maggots all over. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, oof, I can't really spend too long looking at that picture. That's really disgusting.
I think the first time we reviewed Exterminators, like the first of like 5 times, we do a weekly segment called Top of the Stack, and all of our guests and ourselves will review a book. I think Exterminators has been reviewed like 5 times now.
More than any other book that we've been doing it.
And I think the first time that we reviewed it, one of us referred to it as being a beautiful car wreck. You can't turn away from it because you just can't. It's hard to explain.
Well, what's funny, you mentioned this scene with the woman on the couch or the insane asylum, and one of the things I really like about that is sort of the idea that you had mentioned earlier about insects or infestation kind of taking over the world. But also, I think there's like a really cool theme in the book of that we're kind of letting them, almost. It's not every person is like, you know, fighting, you know. They're kind of giving in to letting nature just sort of take over everything, you know, which I enjoy.
The bucket scene with the fact that was definitely Tony. Tony has to take credit or blame for that. I'm not sure whether it's credit or blame, but yeah, when at Comic Con, there's a lot of people were talking about that particular panel.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to move on to a couple of our forum questions. But we ran into someone at Wizard World Chicago that wanted to ask you a question, and we recorded it, so I'm going to go ahead and play that for you right now.
Why are you pretending to be British, Simon? I mean, you grew up like in the same town I did. It's a little ridiculous, but
yeah, he's right. I'm from Kentucky.
We want a picture of you with today's newspaper. So
you are. Anyone out there that didn't recognize the voice, we actually did spend some time with Tony Moore last weekend, and we told him that we were going to be talking to you, and it's like, Tony, can you got a couple questions for Simon this week? And so that's what he came up with. So
yeah, no, he's right. I've said that before, though, when in Los Angeles, when people have been like, oh, so where are you from? And you know, I've lied and said Kentucky or something, and they walk a straight face, and they just kind of look at you like, is he fucking with me or not? I'm not sure what to say.
Kentucky, yeah, that's an interesting Kentucky accent you have there.
From what we heard from Tony over the weekend, he is having a blast doing the book. He is really, really enjoying it. So, and I think
we both have a lot of fun on this book.
I'm sorry.
We can do pretty much what we want. It's very, very, very occasionally they're like, you know, you can't really show that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that's, you know, just rub that part out and you know, you can't do that. It's been very, very few things. I was surprised, actually, how much they've let us get away with.
The rat cockroach hot tub scene's not going to happen.
Not at the same time. They all happen separately.
Yeah, what was the process of actually, you know, working out the program of working with Tony? How did that come about that Tony was the artist on this book?
That was a DC thing. That was John had read The Walking Dead, and you know Tony, he figured would be a good artist for it. And you know, I went out and got a copy of Walking Dead and looked at it the first trade, and I was like, you know, yeah, I think so. So yeah, he you know, they gave him a call and he jumped at it, and it was really, I mean, we talked about a few different artists, and but really, I think he was the perfect one for it. I think he's got the perfect style for it. It's kind of I don't know how to describe Tony's style for anyone who hasn't seen it. But when I spoke to him, first of all, I was like, you know, I really want that kind of dirt under the fingernails, like a grimy kind of feel to it. Yeah. He nailed it first time. I mean, he was definitely on the same page.
It's got sort of a really cool stylized, but like realistic. Like, yeah. You believe everything you see on the page, but it,
yeah.
It's stylized.
Yeah, it's got amazing, amazing detail. It is amazing. On top of that, and what makes him so good is that he's such a great storyteller.
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes he adds things. I mean, you know, not just stuff like the lady crapping through the couch, but just little
spoilers.
Things in the panel, like, I mean, you know, like the reflections in doorknobs and stuff of the person opening the door, and just little things that he really understands the storytelling process, which is great, because we're completely on the same page. And really, I mean, I completely trust him with the artwork. I rarely get involved in anything that gets drawn, because I have complete confidence that, you know, he's such a perfectionist that I don't really have to be involved with it. It's pretty great, and you know, the coloring's great, the inking's great. You know, I love the artwork in the book.
Would you, and this is the only book that you've worked on, but would you ever consider doing another title and having Tony work on it, or would you to experiment?
If he's available, I mean, he's
gonna... Yeah.
So unfortunately for writers, you know, we can, you know, time-wise, we can be doing a couple of books where, you know, a couple of monthlies at a time. I hate to do more than that, but you know, for the artist, it's pretty much one a month, and you know, a little bit here and there. So I think it would be hard. I mean, we're going to be doing Exterminators for a while.
Okay. Well, the next question I was going to ask, are you interested in doing other work in comics, or is Exterminators the story that you have to tell?
Oh, no. I love it. I really, you know, I think through Fluke, I kind of landed, you know, in a medium that I'm pretty happy working with, which, you know, if 4 years ago someone had said, oh, in 4 years' time, you're going to be writing a monthly comic book, I would have thought they were completely insane. I've been talking about doing another, it won't be a monthly, it will, you know, be more of a graphic novel, and, you know, I've been working on a movie script as well, which hopefully at some point will be finished. But yeah, I'm really happy, you know, I'd be perfectly happy to carry on doing comic books, rather than anything else, because it's, yeah, with movies and TV, the experience I have had, which is fairly limited, but you can spend forever working on a project and it never sees the light of day, whereas, you know, with comic books, it's such a great medium for getting stuff out there.
Sure, and it seems like you've really
and
really
the freedom of being able to do it. I mean, it's such a, you know, between me and Tony and John, you know, we're basically the only people who touch the book, and it's very much a product of what we want the book to be. With everything else, everyone, you know, the more money that gets involved in TV and movies, everyone has to have their 2 cents per in.
Sure. Oh, I do love Andy Park's inks on the book also.
He's great. Yeah. Everyone who's done it, and Mike Hawthorne's doing issues 11 and 12, are going to be a two-part standalone.
Great.
About Soloth's background, which is pretty great. I've seen the artwork he's done. It's pretty fabulous. And I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to move on to some forum questions. So, Sal, I think you have a couple queued up here.
Sure. This is from David Price in New York. He asks, is there an ending plan for Exterminators a la 100 Bullets or Why the Last Man, or is the plan to keep going, doing it until it's not fun?
There is an ending plan. I have a rough figure in my head, and something that, you know, I plan to be working towards to finish it. I don't see it going on forever. I think there's a there's a finite number of stories you can tell in about a particular thing, and you know, I definitely have a number in my head of, you know, how many of these I really want to do.
All right. Next one's from David D. in New York, and he actually has two questions. I'll ask the first one first and get an answer. It's, have you had any personal formative experiences with bugs?
Not a huge amount. I don't have a huge amount of horror stories. I think no more than anybody else. I lived in Thailand for a while. I had a lot of issues with, we used to find snakes all over the place and scorpions. And I saw someone shoot a centipede once.
Jesus. I would consider that formative.
Yeah. I was trying to think about it. Like, maybe I buried that one away. Yeah, I mean, they have these huge centipedes that, you know, big enough to kill an infant if they, you know, can get their poison into them. And the Thais are terrified of them, and this thing's running out, and the guy just pulled out his gun and blew it away.
Jesus.
Okay, here's the second part of his question, and this is, while I was reading the Exterminator's Trade this weekend, my cat, Brando, actually brought a cockroach that he had killed to me and laid it at my feet. He's never done that before, and I was wondering how Mr. Oliver manages such a multimedia experience for his readers.
Yeah, that's all part of the next one. The next one will be scratch and sniff.
Oh, God. Well, David is one of our posters on the forum quite a bit. We've spent probably about 6 months trying to convince him to read this book. Every time there's an Exterminators thread on the forum, he's like, no, I used to live in this crappy apartment in New York that was infested by cockroaches, and I couldn't clear them out. And he's like, I can't read this book because I have a pathological fear of bugs now. And it took us like 6 months, and now he read it, and he loved it. So thank you, David D. The next one is a mind bender.
Yeah,
so.
this is a bit of a long question, but hang with us. This is from Vince B. in Pennsylvania. And he said he thinks he finally has a handle on the Exterminators. He said, throughout history, the mystic symbol of the swastika has been used to represent a wide range of concepts. The auspicious clockwise male version is said to represent the god Ganesha Brahm, symbolizing intellect and wisdom. The inauspicious counterclockwise female swastika, as seen on the sides of that creepy little box, was used to symbolize the goddess Kali, the devourer of time, who, as Shakti, is the life energy that animates the flesh. Since the scarab beetle was associated with sun worship in Egyptian cosmology, responsible for pushing the sun along in the sky, I'm betting the intelligent scarab in the comic, through the horde of roaches and mysterious box, will be the catalyst that pushes a whole mess of death and destruction down on Henry James's world via the goddess Kali, or representation thereof. The Shakti life energy connection could explain why our rat-faced repulsive friend, as seen in the bloodthirsty crowd in issue number 7, is once again among the living. Am I close? Do any of these concepts...
I'm writing all this down really fast. Wow, I should do this more often. You've just written the next 4 arcs for me. That's great.
Push back that end date for a couple of years.
You know what, though? I'm just thinking, because I'm just realizing, yes, issue 8... is out, and then, you know, obviously 9 and 10. I'm just thinking what's in 9 and 10. And, you'll see, but, yeah, he's actually pretty close.
Nice. Well, I get this.
Actually along the, very much along the right lines. I was listening to it thinking, okay, and then I realized that, wow, those ones I wrote haven't come out yet, so... Yeah, that's pretty close.
Well, Vince will be very happy to hear
good
that.
Good job, Vince.
I got a call.
Do you mind if I use any of that research you did?
Oh, Vince would love it. I got a call from Vince. He's a friend of ours, lives in Pennsylvania, and called me, and he's like, dude, I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and couldn't go back to bed, and it just like came to me, and I went, I started doing research on the internet.
Stuff, like it was in his head, and he had to.
Yeah.
I have to look all that. I have to. You can't imagine how many books I've had to read to be able to put this one together.
Well, we'll give you Vince's email address. Yeah. He'll be happy to help you out with anything he could.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I've done a lot of research on various things, and you know, a lot of what's ended up in the Exterminators is you know, just little snippets of things that I've been interested in. You know, like this 11 and 12. There's going to be a lot in Cambodia in the 1970s to do with the genocide there, which. The whole concept of genocide kind of fascinates me, so I, you know, there's lots of
We got a few more questions. These are seem to be pretty fast, so we'll just go through them. It's from Marty in Pennsylvania.
We're big in Pennsylvania,
big
and New
in
York.
Pennsylvania, and New York.
Big in Pennsylvania, that's good. Where is Pennsylvania? Is it near Kentucky?
yes. No, not really.
They all have funny accents. Is there any significance to the makes and models of cars you use in the story? The choices seem very specific.
Yeah, the cars I like he has the Aston Martin. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? When I was thinking about different cars to put him in, different kinds of sports cars, I was like, you know what says class to me? It's an Aston Martin, like a vintage Aston Martin. So yes, and also in issue number 8, the different cars kind of symbolize, you know, the girls and, am I allowed to call them girls? I guess the women, the girlfriends in Henry's life.
Chicks.
You know, the cars kind of symbolize their characters.
The use of cars in issue 8 was really important. The whole character issue was very important.
And what does
it's very much like if those people were cars, what kind of cars would they be?
Yes. What does Drax?
The Aston and the Mercedes. I really like those, like 1972 Mercedes coupes. So that was like, that would be a good one to put in. That's a good style car.
Nice. All right. What does Drax taste like? He's guessing scope.
It kind of looks like him with that kind of fluorescent blue thing. I don't know.
Fan fiction, Marty.
I think it would be like bittersweet or something. It would be kind of a weird. I think it would have a weird aftertaste.
And he's also disgusted by the woman. He cannot sit or lay on a sofa since the scene with the woman crapping through the sofa.
I'm sorry about that, Tony. You need to ask Tony about that. You need to email him about that. That's his thing. He called me up and said, you know, it would be really great if we put the bucket under the lady. I was like, yeah, go with it, Tony. It's great. And he can take full responsibility for that.
Nice.
Well, we got one more question.
Oh, from Dan.
Papercut, our buddy Dan in Minnesota, he asked if you could share some of the more strange, funny, or disgusting stories that readers have approached you with since you started the series, and if you'll put any of those into the future book.
I haven't really, because Comic-Con's really the only convention I do, and so, I mean, it sounds weird, but I don't really know anyone.
I'll email you some. I have some great ones.
No, I'd love to. I mean, I'll put my email address out there, and, you know, anyone who wants to email me they're welcome to. I want to hear from people who are reading the book and what they like about the book or don't like about the book. You know, I need feedback's nice because I literally sit in a little office in downtown Los Angeles and pound this thing out and you have kind of a separation between writing it and actually realizing that somebody's out there reading it.
Well, one of the things is, have you ever read the book Rats by Robert Sullivan?
Yeah, the one about the guy in New York.
Yeah.
Where
he talks about how once he wrote it, people started coming up to him to tell him stories about rats, like he was the only one who could understand the horror they've been through.
Only Simon Oliver will understand my fascination with cockroaches.
My silverfish in the shower story. He's the only one who can understand what I'm going through.
Be careful what you ask for, Simon.
I think as long as I'm in comics, it's going to haunt me. Is that guy who wrote that the bug? Tony will be drawing zombies at conventions when he's like 70 years old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm Steve Bryant, and you're listening to Around Comics, and Tom Caters is not wearing any pants.
Because I wanted this last weekend to have Tony draw a big-ass cockroach for me.
Good.
Screaming.
Roaring. When I was with him at Comic-Con, it's like, you know, can you draw me as a zombie? Can you draw so-and-so as a zombie? Can you draw a zombie roach? It's just like, oh my God.
Zombie roach?
He does it very well. I don't think he minds doing it, but it's
got to be hard.
People like zombies.
Yeah. For now.
And roaches.
Bugs will be the next one.
Roaches are the new.
The bug thing, I think it will slowly kick in. Mm. All they want drawings of themselves really fat sitting on a couch.
Oh, no.
Someone got offended. I forget where it was. Somebody posted that they really weren't happy about, you know, the obese thing. The obese aspect of that scene, they weren't particularly happy with it. Yeah. But I think I get around to offending just about everyone.
Screw them if they don't like it. You can't say that, but I can.
Opportunity offender.
So, anything you you want to let us know about what's coming up next for Exterminators, or what's coming up next for you? Are there any other books for you in the works, or?
No, I have an outline I'm waiting to hear about. If they want to go ahead and do it or not. Which I'd love to. I've had a project that I've been kicking around pretty much as long as I've been doing the Exterminators that I'd really like to do. It's been incredibly hard to get another project set up. So I'm hoping that I'm going to get a breakthrough on that soon and might actually get to sit down and write the whole thing, because it's something I've been working on for a long time. And then I have this horror movie script that I think is going to be pretty good when I finally finished it. And I'd really like to start doing another book now. The Exterminators is kind of up and running, and I got a handle on the schedule and stuff. That I'd like to be able to write this other book. I guess what are we on now? Number 8's coming out, so we've got a couple more that are going to finish this arc off, and there will be a lot more information about the box and about AJ's reappearance in his new form. And the guys end up completely covered in shit in issue number 10.
Nice.
Which is pretty great. We're gonna kill off another character.
No, don't make it Stretch. I love Stretch.
We're gonna kill another character. I'm not gonna say who, but someone comes to a fairly sticky end, and then
not a shitty end though.
Actually, we kill off two characters actually in number 10.
Oh. It's a bloodbath.
We kill off one in number 9 and one in number 10.
Oh, wow.
There's two more characters that are going to get knocked off. And then 11 and 12 a couple of issues that are going to fill in Soloth's backstory. And I have to say, there's along the lines of the Woman on the Couch panel, there's a panel that Mike Hawthorne drew of two of the characters having sex together, which is really disgusting.
Oh, no.
I really, really, and my wife saw it and was really, really gave me the evil eye over it. She gave me the full blame for that panel. It was his imagination. He just, I wrote like 3 lines of scene description, and that's what he did with it. It's not really my fault, but she was fairly horrified.
No, I love Mike's work.
I'm very excited.
I'm pretty excited about all the issues that are coming out. I feel, they're unique in their own individual way. They're like snowflakes. Really kind of grubby snowflakes.
Yeah. Well, Simon, we, from the very beginning, have absolutely adored this book in a really sick, twisted sort of way. We were so excited to have the opportunity to talk to you tonight. Any last words out there, and we'll wrap things up.
Just thank you, thank you for being so behind the book, and anyone who's reading it or anyone who's even thinking about reading it, thank you. It's still weird for me to be involved in this, and to be sitting in this room in downtown Los Angeles writing this thing, and it goes through this amazing process with these really talented people who draw it and put it all together, and then it comes out and people buy it. It's still kind of incredible to me, to be honest.
Well, Simon, we definitely look forward to all of your upcoming works. We want to see what happens with this great cast of characters in Exterminators and the Roaches, which are also very interesting. But we'll definitely be looking forward for that. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll have the chance to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, definitely. Any time, I'll be more than happy to come on and chat with you guys. It's great. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thank awesome. You. Good luck with the book and anything else you do.
Keep exterminating.
Thanks.
Well, there you go, folks. Mr. Simon Oliver, please, if you have not taken the opportunity, check out Exterminators. It is a truly fantastic book, and we really enjoyed talking to him and getting his thoughts on his work.
Horrifically beautiful.
It is. It is a beautiful car wreck. We're done with the first part of the show. That means it is time to slide over to the news desk. It is time for Wire to Wire Comic News. These are your top headlines for the week of August 7th, 2006. First, the top stories from Wizard World Chicago. From DC Comics,
a new Grant Morrison penned issue of 52 that explores the relationships between Bruce Wayne, Dick Grayson, and Tim Drake has been announced. Who is the real Nightwing? The one-year later version or the Outsiders one? That will be answered in a miniseries separate from 52. An Emperor Joker trade paperback has been announced to hit stores in 2007. Rags Morales will be drawing an upcoming story arc of the JSA Classified, and there has been hinting to whether Wally West will be returning to the DCU. From Vertigo, Jeff Smith's upcoming Captain Marvel miniseries, tentatively titled Shazam! Monster Society of Evil, has been announced. Editor Will Dennis revealed that Brian Wood's next project will be a Viking saga titled The Northlanders. Both Peter Gross and Brian Wood have signed two-year exclusive agreements with DC, although Wood talked about continuing developments on local and supermarket, so perhaps his agreement has some flexibility. The only new project announced was Jason Aaron's Scalped, a new ongoing crime drama set entirely on a Native American reservation with covers by Jock. The Absolute Sandman Volume 1 was announced with a $99 price point. For 100 Bullets, Brian Azzarello said, "I should apologize to everybody who's been a longtime fan of this book. The next story arc, I'm sorry, it's necessary." Let the speculation begin. And now for some of the major Marvel announcements. Peter David talked about his anxiety on working on The Dark Tower, but how Stephen King was pleased with his work overall and how King had influenced David's career. He also talked about 1603 Fantastic Four, a high seas adventure featuring Dr. Doom kidnapping Shakespeare to chronicle the expedition to find a lost civilization in hopes of fixing his face, with the FF in hot pursuit to rescue the bard. Joe Quesada announced Young Guns 06 Reloaded, a Marvel initiative to promote a set of artists as the next big thing, which includes Clayton Crane, Simone Bianchi, Pascal Ferry, Linnell Blue, Ariel Olivetti, and Billy Tan. Some interior art for November's kid-friendly Spider-Man / Power Pack was shown, as were brief glimpses of The Immortal Iron Fist by Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction, with art by David Aja. Originally, the latter was slated to be a miniseries, but it's been upgraded to an ongoing series. C.B. Cebulski announced his new Legend of the Spider Clan with Scotty Young, a 48-page one-shot due to hit in November. Marvel asked audiences what you get when you pair Jeff Loeb with Michael Turner. Ultimate Wolverine, a 5-issue miniseries beginning in 2007. In a rare cross-company promotion, Images, The Walking Dead number 30, will showcase the 5-page teaser that Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips created for their new icon book, Criminal. The Walking Dead is one of Image's most popular titles, while Criminal will debut this October from Marvel's creator-owned icon label. So how did this cross-promotion come about? Promoting a creator-owned book in this industry is an uphill battle, so when I see a book as good as Criminal come along, I want to do whatever I can to promote it, said Kirkman. Image has been kind enough to allow me to do this. We're all in the same business of selling comics, more specifically, good comics, and I think we all feel there's room for more of those no matter who the publisher is. Plus, now Brubaker and Phillips own me one. The Walking Dead number 30 will be in stores on August 23rd, but if you can't wait to check out the exclusive Criminal teaser, which is not going to be reprinted in the first issue of the comic, you can download a PDF. Go to www.aroundcomics for details on how. After almost 14 years and more than 300 issues, one of the longest runs in the history of independent comics, publisher Claypool Comics is telling the world of print, thank you and farewell. Claypool will cut back its line to Deadbeats alone and put New Adventures of that series' vampire-haunted world on the internet. Claypool's trade paperback comics collection under the Boffin Books imprint and back issues will remain available as long as supplies last. Claypool Comics wants to extend its warmest wishes and gratitude to the many writers, artists, retailers, fans, and others who have helped Claypool over the company's 14-year odyssey. Their loyalty and support have made Claypool one of the most respected publishers in comics, and Claypool's staff hopes that they will continue to follow Deadbeat's online adventures. Taking a page out of Marvel's entrance into the direct-to-video market, DC, Warner Home Video, and Warner Brothers Animation have announced that they will be producing a line of original DC Universe animated movies for DVD. Several DC comic creators have been tied to these productions, including Darwin Cook and Marv Wolfman. They will join a host of animated television veterans and movie producers like Bruce Timm, Dwayne Capizzi, Stan Berkowitz, and Tom DeSanto. The plan is to produce 2 to 3 full-length PG-13 rated animated films per year, each an adaptation of classic DC Universe stories. The first 3 films, all slated to be released in late 2007, early 2008, are Justice League New Frontier, written by Stan Berkowitz, with Darwin Cook serving as story and visual consultant. Superman Doomsday, produced by Bruce Timm and written by Dwayne Capizzi, from a story by Timm and Capizzi. Teen Titans The Judas Contract, written by Marv Wolfman and Tom DeSanto, produced by DeSanto. Other properties in development include films featuring Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern. These have been your top headlines. For the full version of these and other stories, go to www.aroundcomics.com, your source for the best in comics news, reviews, and opinions. And those are your top headlines for the week. First of all, guys, we're going to do a little recap of Wizard World Chicago, which I was pretty much unaware of a lot of this news because we were running around.
I was on top of all of it.
We were hugging everyone.
Thank you, Newsarama, for supplying.
Yeah, thank you, Newsarama.
Because our roving reporter, Tom Caters, just wouldn't pull out a pen or...
Abandoned
us. No, I knew all that. There's even more than this from the DC one.
I did cut out a lot of it and went with just some of the stuff I thought.
Just read the books. Just read the comics. I mean, like, so what?
Read some comics.
Batgirl's going to be in Teen Titans East. Well, wait for it to come out.
And then
I'll know. Grant
Morrison writing a 52 issue that's going to explore the relationships of Bruce, Dick, and Tim.
Damn it. Now I'm pissed off that I dropped that off my...
Grant Morrison. You can always pick that one up.
Yeah, I could always
Who is the real Nightwing? This is something a lot of people have been complaining about, is how out of character Nightwing seems to have been. So it appears that they're going to clear all of that up in
a
miniseries.
Out of character.
Yeah.
Poorly written. That's a good way of saying it.
Emperor Joker is going to be traded.
The woman who asked about this during the DC panel, I cannot express to you how excited
she was about Emperor Joker.
And I was just like, what was Emperor Joker? And, and she was like,
did you ask her that?
No, but I was really happy for her because she was like the most excited. She did one of the, like, she was like clapping her hand. Yeah, she was so excited about it. I was happy for her.
Very nice.
Speaking of like re-released collection, I just picked up The Son of the Demon last week.
Oh yeah,
really freaking good.
Yeah,
and I know I'll be chastised and
for never reading it.
Pathetic. Things like 19 years old, and I'm about halfway through it. I read it on the train today on the way into work, or half of it on the train, and it's really freaking good.
Did they ever release that as a hardcover? Because I think I have a hardcover of that. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, I have that. It was good, real good.
You know what's funny is I was listening to one of the one of the DC podcasts, and Grant Morrison sort of hinted that he's going to be writing Batman for a while.
Really?
He was like, oh, the first year I'm writing it, I'm not going to do that.
Wow.
Which would be kind of interesting if
to
he
see
has
him go a couple of years
well,
on
how
Batman?
Long did he go on New X-Men?
It went for a while.
I want to say
JLA,
maybe
he went for
like 3 years
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, he likes to...
Enough to do an omnibus, which is, 30-something issues.
There's like 7 trades worth of stuff, so...
I'd love to see him do that with Batman.
He likes to get his, teeth into.
I was kind of surprised because I always just kind of thought that when this storyline was.
I know
done,
I hate that.
It.
I hate that though. It's like, oh, we're gonna put this huge name on a great book, but he's only gonna write. You know,
but he seemed to have issues. A lot of. He seemed to have a lot of ideas and was pretty.
Well, that's
clear
cool.
About.
Although I haven't been exactly like knocked out of the park with that yet, but.
Paul Dini is writing the best Batman right now.
Detective is awesome.
It is good. And I love how both issues so far have been self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Nice little detective stories, which is what that book should be. You know what I mean? They should have a theme.
I mean, it's been years since I bought a Batman book, and the fact that I bought Batman and Detective.
I know.
It's just like, if you would have asked me 4 or 5 years ago.
No chance.
There's
man.
No chance I would have ever done that.
I was really disappointed that J.H. Williams was taken off of Detective.
He's
going
to be back on. And,
that was
he's
just a
fill-in.
He's
got to finish Seven Soldiers.
You can't call Don Kramer a fill-in because...
Yeah, well, I just mean the issue with
that.
He'll be back on because he had to finish Seven Soldiers, which will come out someday.
But I love Don's art in this last issue of Detective. He's fantastic.
Both of those were amazing.
Speaking of other artists, Rags Morales is going to be doing some JSA Classified.
That's good.
So,
if you want to see Rags Morales.
And Tom, they're saying Wally may not be gone.
If he brings new writers with him.
Sorry,
Hollywood.
Yeah, I guess we can check Danny
Bilson
and Paul DeMeo off the list.
Bring back some writers from the Speed Force and get out 12 issues quick.
We're building up quite a list for you, Tom.
I know.
Gaiman, DeMeo, Bilson.
I'm already looking at the Vertigo thing.
Wait, wasn't there, what's his name?
What else did you twerk
off? Who's the old guy you'd...
Gaiman?
Oh, Giffen.
No, not Giffen. Infantino.
Oh, Infantino. I love Infantino. I feel bad. I apologize about that. I legitimately feel bad about that.
From Vertigo, Jeff Smith is doing some mainstream work. He's going to be writing a Captain Marvel miniseries. I know Sal's a huge Captain Marvel fan.
That'll be awesome.
That should be interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's going to go for that. Because I know a lot of people have been sort of complaining about the Judd Winnick version being maybe a little too modernized. And they keep saying,
this is
Jeff Smith.
This
if you like
shit.
That, go to the Jeff Smith. That's going to be...
Has Jeff Smith done any mainstream work
besides Bone?
I don't know.
He's been working on this for a while.
Yeah, that's
but
what
he,
I heard.
He's getting all four. He's like halfway through the fourth or something.
Cool.
So
I'll check
it
out.
All done,
I'll definitely check it out.
Which is cool, which I admire in any miniseries, is that they finish it. Where they put it out, you know.
It's a good thing usually.
No, we were actually at this panel where they announced that Brian Wood will be writing a Viking book called
Northlanders.
That'll be awesome.
Starring our own Mark Beatty.
yes, Mark Beatty
is a Viking.
As the Viking.
Well, that's cool.
That'll be interesting, you know. They wanted to challenge him and
they,
you know, get him out of his comfort zone, if you will. Mm-hmm. So he came up with that. So he could write off
Sam,
his...
Sam, good Lord, you chatterbox. Will you go stand next to the man and talk to him? We do record in a comic shop.
We're going to get kicked out. The police are going to show up.
They're like shouting across the
What's
room.
Going on?
It's like trying to do... We're making magic here.
I can't tell when you guys are on or off. I mean, that's just me. I mean...
It's magic.
Maybe your style. I don't know.
Brian Wood and Peter Gross have signed a 2-year exclusive with DC, but Brian Wood's still going to be working on local and supermarket.
Yes,
of course.
He just wanted to make some bank.
Yes, and well-deserved bank. Jason Aaron is going to be doing Scalped. Did we meet Jason Aaron this weekend?
Did we? I didn't, but I was drunk most of it. So I could have.
I didn't meet him. The weekend is a blur.
Oh, was that Jason Aaron that
with? Yeah, I think we had lunch with him.
Oh, you guys are dicks.
Really? If that was indeed Jason, wonderful guy.
Yeah, I think I was just kind of torqued off because we walked like 3 miles.
Yeah, John Hook
meat.
Had us do the baton death march to Giordano's.
Bridge
over the river.
We appreciate the effort, but it was a bit of a walk.
Yeah, but we love
John.
Oh,
yeah, he's doing the book for Vertigo. Yeah,
yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah.
No.
Really nice guy.
I would have been nicer to him if I knew that. I tried to steal his pizza at one point.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I bet that works its way into one of
and,
the
And we love John, but the Around Comics Fantasy Football League, I'm going to kick your ass. So
you
get
ready. Chance,
there is no league. There's me, and then there's the 11 people that are going to come in anywhere between 2nd and 11th.
Yeah. Absolute Sandman, which I did they really announce that at the con? That it was $99. I thought that was already been determined.
That's expensive, isn't it?
100 bullets. This is scary and cool at the same time. Brian Azzarello is actually apologizing to longtime fans of the series because how did he put it? The next story arc. I'm sorry, it's necessary.
He's just gonna kill everyone. He's gonna kill Graves off. That's what he's gonna do.
He can't kill Graves.
Why not?
Because it's Graves, man.
Yeah, well, he's sorry, but it's necessary.
He's going to kill Graves.
Graves is dead.
Oh, man. All right, over to the House of Ideas. We had some Peter David stuff talking about Dark Tower. Joe Quesada announced...
Wait, Peter David, you didn't... Peter David's doing the Wonder Man.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of soap opera-esque kind of mini thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's going to be, but check it out.
I don't... Wonder Man's not a entirely interesting character to me, even though
I always liked Wonder Man.
Yeah, well, the last issue of Frontline, very good. Wonder Man's actually getting a little bit pissed off with this whole registration thing.
Does
well,
he still he have should killer be. Hollywood sunglasses on
of
all
course.
The time?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Joe Quesada announced the Young Guns 06, which, Young Guns, what was it?
Very nice. Yeah.
That wasn't even edited.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
What live? Young Guns 04. Who all was in that?
God, Finch. I'm trying to think of who all was in the Young Guns 04. Thanks for putting me on the spot.
Can we be the Young Guns of podcasting?
McNiven.
Love that.
Who else? I mean, just like all the top guys at Marvel now, but I can't think of their names.
It was so
love the idea of. Every time I say Young Guns, I like laugh a little bit.
From the movie,
like,
what
the
movie
like, yeah, like do they Diamond walk Phillips? Around like I'm one of the Marvel Young Guns?
They got badges.
Yeah,
give me guns. A free slice guns pizza. With pencils in yeah. the end. Oh gosh, what do we have here? Immortal Iron Fist, which had already been leaked. Ed Brubaker
talked about it.
Yeah, so he and Matt.
And we'll
Fraction.
Talk about him. Talk about that with him next week.
Yes, yeah. Yes, we'll be talking with Ed next Friday.
I am psyched for that.
You're not going to be here.
Well, no, I'm psyched for Immortal Iron Fist.
Oh.
Yeah, I love Matt Fraction and I love Ed Brubaker. Yeah. So.
And I love Iron Fist.
There you go.
I don't know that much about Iron Fist.
Oh, I've always loved Iron Fist.
But I'm sure I will enjoy it.
Yeah, we're really excited about the chance to talk to Ed that we had to ship Tom out of town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
I'm
going to Door County with my lovely girlfriend.
Oh, Door County, you going for a fish boil?
Fish fry and some pie country. Some pies. Bed and breakfast. I'll be bored.
See,
he doesn't listen, so she won't hear that.
See, but your friends do, and they might tell her.
CB Cebulski announced his new Legend of the Spider Clan that he'll be doing with Scotty Young. It's a one-shot coming out in November.
48-page
yeah,
one-shot.
Yeah, go for it. CB, really nice guy.
So it's sort of like a two-shot. In one.
In one shot.
There you go. There you go. I don't know.
And look for, Mark, are you ready? Yeah. Look for Jeff Loeb, Michael Turner.
Wait, I got a joke. Oh, ask this question at the beginning. Ask what it says right here.
What do you get when you pair Jeff Loeb with Michael Turner?
Missed deadlines.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
No.
Or
Ultimate Wolverine. Love Jeff Loeb. I like some of Michael Turner's work. And
he didn't look like I thought he would.
Jeff Loeb?
Yeah, when we met him briefly.
He was a little bit more svelte than I thought.
Like he was,
like Jeff Loeb. I like Jeff Loeb.
Oh, I like Jeff Loeb's work a lot. Sure. Yeah, and he looked a lot more svelte than I thought he would.
Why? What a weird thing. What did you think? He was massively overweight?
I didn't picture him as a redhead.
Oh, he's a red. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much do you think he can bench?
Yeah. Seems like very,
I'm
very,
say
very nice guy.
197.
Is he fast?
All right.
Does he
all right. One thing.
I don't know, he had a drink in his hand when I met him. So.
One thing that's really cool is, and this is a really interesting promotion, is that Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips' new book, Criminal, which we'll be spotlighting next week. It's coming out under the Icon imprint, but there's actually a five-page preview.
That's all I think about when I don't know.
The Alien Ant Farm version.
Yeah, well,
that's smooth.
Criminal, baby.
They're running a five-page preview in The Walking Dead, number 30, which, of course, is printed by Image. So it's,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's
I love
cool.
that stuff when a book can preview another book.
In another company.
In another company. I think it's... I like Kirkman's quote, too. I mean, why not?
I just wonder what Kirkman... You know,
has got him on the hook for.
Yeah, well, yeah. What, you know, it's like Ed's got pictures of Robert Kirkman. With, you know?
Ant-Man's going to kill Punisher. He's going to kill Iron Fist or something.
Nice. Nice.
Some future storyline.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, some sad news. After 14 years, Claypool Comics is closing their print doors. They're going to continue to, I guess, not publish, but make Deadbeat.
It's web publishing.
It's not a sad story, Chris. It's a new door opening.
That's right. Has anyone here ever read any Claypool?
Awkward silence.
Claypool's, yeah, Claypool's a good company. It's, I mean,
you haven't named one book that isn't on the sheet that you've read from Claypool Comics.
Deadbeats?
Yeah, that's on the sheet. That isn't on the sheet.
I'm so bad with companies.
Forget it.
Kat Ironwood works for Claypool Comics, and she has been a amazing editor in comics. She used to be an editor for Eclipse.
Where'd you read that?
I used to read Airboy, dude.
I'm just messing
she
with
you. She is an interesting lady, and I know that she's working at Claypool, so that is very, very disappointing. Taking a page out of Marvel's entrance into the direct-to-video market, and this is our last story here, DC has a slate of direct-to-DVD animated features planned. Tom, you're our DC guy. What do you think about all this stuff? You can't wait for Superman Doomsday.
That's the one I was like, what? New Frontier could be really, really awesome, and Judas Contract, if they, you know... actually do the story, could also be really interesting. And I love that Marvel and DC are getting into this, because this is a market that I think works, and I'm interested in seeing what they do. And they've got the guys that have done
Starman Cook is going to be the guy.
You can't ask for more. If it fails, it just, it's not from a lack of getting the right people to do
Bless you. I did pick up the Ultimate Avengers 2.
How was it?
I'm about a half an hour into it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty good. I kind of liked the first one. I mean, it was...
This one takes a little bit more advantage of the PG-13 rating.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That was the one thing.
People get disintegrated and shot.
Yeah, I heard Cap like melted some guys or something in it.
Yeah.
That was the one thing Crank from the first was one about that was a little bit... It was a little bit not quite
ultimate.
Get the, yeah.
It wasn't quite ultimate.
So that's good to hear that they kind of stretched out to do that.
Yeah, if you listen to the last episode of Crankcast, Mike and Crank talk about it. And yeah, Cap like threw his shield through a van and then melted the van like by accident. And so.
Well, speaking of movies, or this is more of a movie story, but I know one other story was that the long-awaited Wanted film.
Yes.
Landed at Universal. Mark Millar's Wanted. So that could be interesting. But that's going to have like an X rating, I think. It's NC-17 or something on it.
Maybe they'll market like Snakes on a Plane. It'll be called like Ass Rape in a Warehouse.
There you go. That could
it'll
work.
Be, you know, one of those guerrilla marketing. It'll be on MySpace.
Ass Rape in a Warehouse.
Yeah, and... Probably my biggest disappointment news-wise is that we were talking to some folks at the convention this last week, and Sal and I pretty much had so much to drink that we had some major hints dropped our way, and like Monday morning couldn't remember any of
them. There was all sorts of stuff. I'm like sitting there, even when he was telling me,
one of the
guys from Marvel was like, you know, coyly, is that a word?
Maybe.
Anyway.
In a coy manner.
In a coy manner.
Dropping vague
manner.
Hints that if we had been in our right mind.
You guys are like, well, two more cement mixes. Yeah. What'd you say about Iron Man? What? Whatever.
We had a couple of drinks. one
podcast. Really good time. And I'm so glad that we're just about done with our Wizard World coverage. I think Thursday we're going to release the rest of our interviews. Yeah. Which,
I just want to crawl
fun,
back
including
into my hole.
Paul Jenkins and John Romita Jr. I want to apologize to both Paul Jenkins and John Romita Jr. I get to meet these guys, and you know it goes good for maybe an hour. But after that, I seem to be able to do something real stupid to fuck up any kind of chance I have, like these guys not thinking I'm an idiot. I don't know what it is about me.
You
it's just my personality.
John Romita Jr.
No, I don't know what it was. I think I asked Paul Jenkins to marry me at one point.
Yeah, that was kind of embarrassing.
Why? What?
I don't know. It was.
But he was very gracious.
Yes.
He said he was already married with a kid.
I was there on Friday night, and nothing, like, people all went to bed early, and then it was just me and Michael Laverie and like nine squatters, SWAT team members walking around with nightsticks. I was freaked out.
With nightsticks?
Yeah,
what?
They all walked into the bar, and they were walking around, and I'm talking to Michael Laverie, and it's very calm inside the bar. It wasn't like the crazy Bendis board people weren't in the bar. They were all kicking garbage around in the lobby. And they walk in with all these nightsticks, and I'm sitting there having a drink, and I'm just like,
dude, I got a beverage here.
I lived in Madison when they had Halloween riots, and I didn't see cops that intimidating when the fucking streets
just
were on fire today.
Just
yeah.
like, we got some geeks to go flush out,
get
boys.
Ready to club someone dressed as Poison Ivy or something. I was freaked out. Anywho.
Oh, you emaciated boy in the Flash costume.
Yeah.
Get out.
Oh, by the way, since you mentioned that, someone posted the picture of like that... That Justice League of
looks Shane.
The Funhouse Mirror Justice League. There is an issue of the Justice League, and I posted it, like number 6 or something, where aliens use Funhouse mirrors that change them into
aliens.
Obvious shape, where it's like a overweight
Wonder
Superman,
Girl.
Superman, like, really, I'll send it to you guys. I'll send you a picture of it. That is literally the first thing that popped in my head.
Can we do a compare and contrast with that group?
Perhaps the best unintentional costume, like recreating the cover to Justice League 6. It blew my mind when I saw that picture.
Fun was had by all.
Anywho.
All right, guys.
Thank God it's only one time a year.
So, yeah, we had a great time at Wizard World. You get the rest of the wrap-up this week, and then we can put that convention to bed. So that is our top stories for the week. It is time for Top of the Stack. That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what the panel has been reading for the last week. Guys, who would like to go first with their Top of the Stack?
Who wants to go
first?
I'll go.
You're excited about this one.
Yeah, this was, you know,
he thought he was going to have to fight me for it.
Yeah, I really did.
I did enjoy it.
I thought for sure that this was going to be Tom's. I picked Agents of Atlas, number 1 of 6, from Marvel Comics. It is a $2.99 book. It is written by Jeff Parker, pencils by Leonard Kirk, colorist Michelle Madsen, blah, 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 cover artist Tom Coker. To me, it was just a really fun, enjoyable step away from the Marvel Universe kind of book. It features characters from Atlas Comics, old characters, including M11, the robot, Gorilla Man, Marvel Boy, and Jimmy Woo, and these other characters. And it was kind of interesting because they start off the tale with sort of their original adventure set in 1958. When President Eisenhower is kidnapped by the Yellow Claw, and S.H.I.E.L.D. basically contacts, or the government, I don't know if it was S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time, but the government contacts Johnny Wu, and he's puts together this team of super beings to go get Eisenhower back. And they do so, and at the end of it, they're sort of disbanded, and they're never allowed to work together again. And the story is being told by Gorilla Man, who you can tell has a sort of a nostalgic feel for the story, because he explains how that, you know, he really felt like, even though they didn't even know each other for 24 hours, they fought together like they had been together for 10 years, and you can tell he has that sort of in the voice of the character, and he to me, he was the funnest character. He's just this gorilla who seems to be isn't you know intelligent. Yeah. and
he has,
can
like, an
talk.
Office job.
Yeah, yeah, he works for S.H.I.E.L.D. now in an office job. And but in, you know, in the first Avenger, he's like kicking ass and shooting people and everything. But anyway, so that's sort of how the story starts off, and then as it progresses, we find out he was actually telling the story to some S.H.I.E.L.D. agents as a debriefing. They were interviewing because now it's present day, and Johnny Wu has been injured. He's been working for S.H.I.E.L.D. in a desk job also, but he, I guess, put together this little covert team to do his own sort of adventures, and he's got almost killed. And the kind of story goes from there. And I mean, I really don't know what's going on with these characters. I don't know any of these characters. I've never read anything about these characters before. And this has nothing to do with really any other part of the Marvel Universe. Yeah. But it was just fun and entertaining and interesting. I mean, I was intrigued. I want to know more about these characters. And quickly, I learned to already like. And the scene that really blew me away was, you know, there's a part where the gorilla is, like, you know, attacking some other guys, him and the robot, M11 the robot, and it's a panel of the robot picking him up and running through this corridor while the gorilla has a machine gun in both hands and both feet, and he's just firing away at everybody. It's just like,
that was the panel where you said there's no way isn't doing this.
It's a robot carrying a gorilla carrying four guns.
It was
guns.
Great. I loved it. I did love it. It's like the Marvel All-Star Squadron almost.
Yeah, that's what it felt like, and it had the sort of golden age feel to it, but at the same time, I really, like, instantly liked all these characters and wanted to find out. I wanted to see them in more adventures, and
it had a Marvel feel to it, but it also had sort of a golden age feel, which sometimes Marvel doesn't do the best job of taking advantage of that.
I agree.
This is like a awesome thing for them to do, because I loved it too. I mean, I thought it was something that was inspired.
Yeah.
Like an inspired choice.
I think Marvel's been having a lot of fun with this book too.
Yeah.
I think, and the artwork is fantastic. And don't think that, like, it's got sort of a golden age
look. Art on it.
The artist is Leonard Kirk. I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's done. It's nice. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Ryan Sook, if you're familiar with X Factor, a little bit of that. But it's not like a golden age look at all to it. It's very modern art and really well done stuff. So, Agents of Atlas number one. I'll definitely be picking up the rest of them to check it out.
Yeah, it's good. I loved it.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'll
go, Tom.
You go first.
All right. This is, first of all, a big thank you to Bob Breedle, because he picked this up for me out at the San Diego Comic-Con, the limited edition of A Dummy's Guide to Danger. It is from Viper Comics, and it is written by Jason M. Burns, with art by Ron Chan, and letters by Greg Gatlin. And this was, once again, the special edition, and it retailed for $3.25, and I don't know what the regular local comic shop or direct retails for.
What you know, peasants could pick it up for if you don't have a friend out in San Diego.
Custom ship it. You so, Bob, thank you very, very much for sending this to me. It just looked like an interesting premise, and I'll go ahead and read the intro right from the author's words. Combining elements of humor, mystery, and horror, A Dummy's Guide to Danger tells the story of private investigator Alan Sirois, and I'm going to why make a name so hard for a main character? It's S-I-R-O-I-S. So I'm going to Sirois. And his partner, Mr. Bloomberg, a paraplegic ventriloquist dummy that Alan believes was shot in the back by an assailant and who became crippled when the bullet lodged in his spine. Playing the role of gumshoes for hire in the city of Los Angeles, Alan and his inanimate sidekick are sucked into a case involving a gruesome killer known only as the Flesh Collector. I read this book. I loved it. And I don't know what the hell it is. I was telling Sal on the way over here tonight, I don't know if it's a crime noir book. I don't know if it's a gruesome horror book. I don't know if it's a buddy book or a humor book, because it has all of that in it. And it just the premise of a PI in Los Angeles whose partner is a paralyzed ventriloquist dummy with an attitude.
Well, what you were telling, you know, when you were telling me about it, and I was just laughing, but it's like it's such a genius premise. Is that you were saying you don't know if this guy is actually, if his dummy actually can talk to him,
or if he's just fucking bonkers,
or if he's just insane. But the genius part of it is he's paralyzed, so it's not like he has to explain it to anyone. You know, it's like, hey, yeah, he can talk. He can't move. He's paralyzed. He's been
shot in the freaking neck.
Yeah, he can't.
At which point the dummy would say, I was shot in the freaking neck. You got a problem with that? You know, because the dummy has such a personality. I mean, there's a scene where they're trying to break into an actress's, like, mansion compound as part of this case. And there's seriously, like, 4 pages of banter between the two of them. It's this guy and this dummy, and they're talking to each other, and they're like best friends. And you're sitting, it's like, okay, it's a buddy book at this point. And then you're just kind of thinking to yourself, it's like, this guy's off his freaking rocker. He's talking to a dummy, and the dummy is talking back. And what's great is that the dummy has this amazing attitude. And, so it really is kind of a Crockett and Tubbs type, you know, situation.
It's but Miami with the, Vice,
but yeah,
with
it
dummies.
Really has that kind of feel, but it's a dummy. Good detective mystery. You know, there's a serial killer that they're on the trail of, and so you know, if you like crime stories, which you know anyone that listens to the show will know that I am at this point, but it has this really kind of funny, bizarro twist on it that was, you know, more than enough to keep me interested and laughing. It's got a lot of humor, but it's also gruesome. I mean, there's, you know, beheadings, and the last page is really gruesome as all get out. But A Dummy's Guide to Danger by Viper Comics.
It's got nice art, too.
Very solid. Guy tells a really good story with his art. It was definitely a bonus to the writing. Yeah, you're looking at the last page.
Yeah, I just saw that. It's like, whoa, that's
well, this
else.
Is Viper is the same company that was they do Dead at 17.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think Emily Edison. So
there's actually a backup story in here.
And then there is a very nice backup. I don't know if the backup is in every one or just my gold-plated San Diego exclusive one. But Viper is actually a company that's doing some nice stuff, and I think that this fits very well into the catalog of books that they're doing. So it's another company along the lines of Boom and Ape Entertainment to keep your eyes on as a company that's doing some nice stuff. So Dummy's Guide to Danger, Viper Comics. I don't know when issue 2 is coming out, but if you can still get issue 1, really fun, bizarre, cool read. I really enjoyed it. So.
Nice.
Yes, good stuff.
My pick is Godland from... from Image, and I just
totally
recently...
Totally cosmic, dude.
Totally cosmic, dude. I know, I think Dave Wachter had done this earlier.
Dave did, yeah.
But it bears repeating, because I just picked up all the issues, and I've been reading them, and it's fantastic. It's...
Or is it cosmic?
Fantabulous.
Cosmic. It's written by Joe Casey, art by Tom Scioli. Nick Filardi does colors and comic crafts. The fine people that do Elephant Man.
Yeah, do the what?
Yeah, another great read.
It's this really great mix of... It's obviously Kirby-inspired art, because they have ads in the back for Kirby collectors, so they're not trying to hide that. But the storyline is a really great mix of Captain Atom. It's got elements of Fantastic Four. It has the Hulk, Superman, all these things all sort of mixed together, but it still feels unique. It's still got its own unique edge. I mean, there's a villain who all he is a skull inside like a floating thing of water, and his only goal is to mainline blood from aliens to get high to expand his mind. That's like his big thing. There's like a lockjaw, except with like a human face. I mean, it's like it's a mix of like all this stuff you've read before, but still unique and different. And I just I heard it was good, picked it up, and I just been loving it. So I think issue 13 comes out like in 2 months, and it's just great.
Everyone I've talked to says it is just a really fun book.
Yeah, it's big, bright colors, you know, just in your face, weirdness. It's, you know, it's all that stuff about Kirby, you know, like the big ideas, you know. It's got a little bit of the New Gods, a little
bit
of
to me
all
it
that,
seems yeah. like, you know, Kirby, if, you know, evolved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like modern sort of intelligent story writing yeah. and concepts, but, you know, taking all that Kirby stuff yeah. and kind of updating it a bit. And,
it's,
and
yeah. I mean, it's just a great synthesis of all kind, every good comic you've read from, like, the 60s and 70s all put together.
And if you're a Kirby fan, man, the art
the
is
art is
just
spot on. Oh, it was yeah. a little off-putting at first, a little bit at first. When you read it, you're like, it's like, oh, this is Kirby. But then, I mean, that's what they're doing. That's obviously...
it's an homage.
It's an homage to it, and it's... But it's not...
But it's nice.
It's not written as, you know, just a pale imitation. So, I highly recommend you go out and start getting it. Get all the, you know... I think the trade...
First trade's out.
Is coming yep. out, so mm-hmm. get it. I think you'll love it. If you like other stuff I've read, I'm sure you'll love this, because it's got that same sensibility.
It's got Tom's stamp of
approval. Cosmic!
All right, guys. Well... hey, another one in the books.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. How about that? Kind of nice getting back to a regular
last episode.
You know.
Last episode.
We're done. That it? We're done? Yeah. We're wrapping it up now?
Tell Brubaker. And
40?
Too late, too bad.
Too bad, he missed the boat.
Yeah, this train's leaving the station.
Yeah, it, you know, really, it, after the whole week at Wizard World, it was really nice to just come back to the shop tonight and do our regular thing. It's
I didn't have to pull a Phil Donahue and run around
the, run around the room. So, you know, we'd like to thank everybody that was
I've
was
drank,
at a Wizard
I've
World.
Drank considerably less tonight.
Yeah,
than
yeah,
I
we're
did.
A lot more sober this weekend than last. Another huge thank you to all of the guys at Ape Entertainment.
Sure,
that was a great time.
Thank you to Simon Oliver for being
oh, yeah.
on the
yeah.
show
oh,
today.
Tonight, yeah,
and,
that was great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That's the most excited I've been actually to talk to anybody that we've talked to.
And he lived up to all of the hype that we... I mean, he was just, yeah, you know, smart and funny, and I'm sure we'll have him back on, because...
Very engaging. Yeah.
He'll be the one I'm most excited to until we do that long-sought interview with Jesus.
Well, I'm working on it. But his email, dude, he doesn't respond. Yeah. I don't know.
Spam.
Yeah.
He's got it filtered tight.
We are now, get on to our announcements here. We are now proud members of the Comics Podcast
Network.
Was that
just an announcement to announce the announcements?
Yes. This is an announcement to announce the announcements. We are part of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of the best comic book podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com. Once again, thanks all the forum guys that came out to Wizard World last week. It feels like last year. Last week, had a great time meeting you guys. Thanks for all the posts this week for questions for Simon and the questions for Ed Brubaker, which we've got a whole week to prepare for that one. We are actually going to record tonight, but he had to fix his doorbell.
Yeah, Ed gave us a call and asked if we could reschedule it because he's had a tough...
His wife's doorbell.
Yeah,
his wife's doorbell.
So should we thank Geek Armor?
I'm not asking that much.
Yes, Geek Armor. oh, heck, Tom, read the spot again.
GeekArmor.com sells T-shirts with the geek in mind, featuring... a great selection of comic book T-shirts, as well as video game, sci-fi, TV, and movie shirts. You're sure to find something you like.
I've
check
been
out
there,
the latest
true.
Design. A red shirt with a phaser roll in the front that reads, I went on an away mission, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt.
I need that shirt.
Before I read this final paragraph, yes. I'm going to do this in the style of, I'm sure everyone on YouTube, if they haven't seen it, I suggest search Orson Welles drunk, and you'll see outtakes of Orson Welles doing a wine commercial. So I'm going to do this last paragraph in the style of Orson Welles. Now the good folks at Geek Armor are offering a 10% discount to all Around Comics listeners. Just use the coupon code Around Comics, all one word, when placing your order and receive an additional 10% off. GeekArmor.com, check them out today. Search Orson Welles drunk.
Have you ever heard the Orson Welles clip?
The pee commercial when he was doing the peas.
This copy is terrible.
Yeah, if you can find that in the dictionary, I'll go down on you.
I mean, that's what he says to the guy. He's like hammered on wine. Yeah, if you can find that, I'll go down on you.
Oh, good Lord. Our July-August contest, write Tom's comic. We talked about it at the beginning of the episode, sure. So just go find
call
the
comic. Call our hotline, 1-888-865-GCAST.
And around our ARND comics.
ARND comics.
Whatever. It's on the site. Listener LCS Challenge, please, guys, get a flyer up for us. It's I think it's the best way to spread the word about the show.
Send us your emails.
Yes. Podcast Alley, iTunes reviews, blah, blah, blah. I would like to thank everybody, Vince, for calling the hotline. That was that was a hoot. So I'm sure he'll get that message and go, uh-oh, what have they done to me?
David Price, I'd like to thank for making me laugh.
Yes, always, always weekend. Laughter from David Price.
Dan Papercut, Dan for being not being the guy we thought he was. And
yes,
actually,
and for being Dan.
And for being Dan.
Yeah. I'd like to thank my mom and dad.
For having you?
For having me.
Originally.
I'd like to thank alcohol for helping me be conceived.
I'd like to thank
you. We now close the end of it.
Thank you. Thank you to Dark Tower, as always. All right. I feel like
this is tearful end. It's like an Academy Award.
It's like
speech.
An happen to Oscars, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everyone, have a fantastic week. We will be back again next Monday with another full length episode. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around.
And around comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week. With a panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.